Good morning. Lovely to see everyone. I feel like during the worship and all the contributions that my sermons have already been preached. So that's a good sign, isn't it? So anyway, today we continue our preaching series from mercy to maturity, living Romans 12. And today we will be looking at verses 11 to 13. And we will see that these talk about living a life of spiritual passion. So let's read Romans 12, starting at verse 11. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Shall we pray? Lord, we just thank you so much for the way you've been with us this morning. We pray and ask that you will continue with us as I preach your word. Lord, I pray that your words will come to life, Lord. I pray you open our ears and our hearts to hear your voice this morning. May my words fall on the ground, Lord. May your words bring us life and life eternal. Light us up this morning, we pray. And ask in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Amen. So, living a life of spiritual passion. What does this mean? Well, spiritual passion is staying on fire for God in every season of life. Did you get that? Spiritual passion is staying on fire for God in every season of life. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? Can it be possible? What happens when life gets tough, and life will get tough? Are we still on fire for God then? What about when life is so busy that we barely have time to think, that there's so much that crowds in on us? What happens to our passion then? And what about when we're low and depressed and we can hardly lift a finger? Are we making sure at that moment we are living a life of spiritual passion? See, staying on fire for the Lord is often the very last thing we feel capable of in difficult circumstances. But almost always, it's the only way we can get through them. Without the Lord in my life, I have to say I shudder to think what it would be like in some of my most difficult and stressful times if he hadn't been with me. But what if I have a really comfortable life? What if I have everything I need? I'd be happy, surely. Wouldn't I? I'd have a large house, I think. I'd have a nice, sporty car, a bit like Barry's. I'd maybe even have a yacht. And it'd be in a beautiful Mediterranean bay. And I'd be on the deck. Oh, this is the life. And I'd have a nice, cool glass of water, which I would sip and enjoy. I'd be lazy, wouldn't I, though? I'd be slothful. Maybe content? Life would be a breeze, I'd have to say. I'd coast along, just bobbing along in that bay, chilled out. Nothing would worry me, and I'd have it all sorted. Life would be great, wouldn't it? That's what the Christian life is about, surely. I know my theology. I'm saved, and I can't lose my salvation. But would I be living the Christian life? Sometimes as Christians, this is what we can become. We can coast along in our faith, never bothering with anything or anyone. And that's true, isn't it? We want the easy life. That is our default. But unfortunately, the Lord hasn't called us to an easy life. We read in verse 12, that little bit in the middle there, it says, be patient in tribulation. Tribulation, I don't like the sound of that. That doesn't sound great, does it? So, unfortunately, the Lord hasn't called us to be this yacht. He's called us to be this. A galleon. A battleship, armed with many sails. Unfolded, ready to catch the wind. And given a mission to fight the enemy and to rescue sinners. You see, Paul wrote this wonderful book called Romans to the church in Rome. And he wrote it to Jews and Gentiles. And what he was doing by giving us the book of Romans was equipping the church with theological truths that they needed to know in order to fight the battle, to fight the good fight in Rome. Paul was calling them, and today through his Holy Spirit, the Lord is calling us to also fight that good fight. He's asking us to live a life that is not half-hearted, that isn't slothful, but fueled by the Holy Spirit. But in order to move, this galleon must turn into the wind. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. And that word there, filled, means to catch the breeze. The breeze of the Holy Spirit fills your sail. It makes it full and it drives you forward and it drives you on the Lord's mission. And the crew on this ship have a purpose, a mission. They know what this is, and this motivates them. They also have a role on the ship. They have a job to do as part of that crew. And best of all, and this is the best bit, they also have a captain. And his name is Jesus. And this is a great crew. They are filled with joy. There is nothing better than following him and being a part of this ship. Together, they serve each other. Together, they train each other. And together, they support each other. They are the most devoted crew to their captain. They love him. They obey his commands and they serve him even with their very lives. And they know their mission. They know their purpose to go out into the world, to bring freedom to the oppressed, to set the captives free, and declare the Lord's name to the world. So that sounds great, doesn't it? Or are you all terrified now? This is what spiritual passion is. It's not emotional hype. We don't whip ourselves into a frenzy, but it is a zealous, fervent joy, a steady devotion to our captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. So can I ask, where are you today? Are you in that lovely yacht bobbing along in that bay, or are you in that galleon living with a purpose, ready to fight the battle? So spiritual passion is staying on fire for God in every season of life. But how can we do this? What can we learn about passion to help us to be filled with it? Well, the first thing we can learn is the call to passion. So Romans 12 verse 11 says, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. So let's look at the first part of that. Do not be slothful in zeal. So slothful, which is really hard to say, means to be idle, lazy, to hold back. It's like that man in the yacht. And zeal means to have an eagerness, to be diligent. So it can be true that the Lord calls us to a work, but we hold back because, well, I don't know about you, but for me, it was because I'm afraid. And often fear comes in and robs me of that desire that the Lord has put on my heart. See, fear can rob us of a calling. The enemy wants us to stay captive. He wants us to become useless, lazy, to not be eager, to not be diligent in the work that the Lord has called us to do. So, how do we overcome this? Paul also provides the answer in the next words he uses. He says we need to be fervent in spirit. So we need to seek the Holy Spirit. And fervent here means to be excited, to be enthusiastic, and it literally means boiling over. So imagine a pan of water. You put it on the stove, and if you've got gas, you turn it up, and the cold water starts to simmer. And the more you pray and the more you ask for the Holy Spirit to fill you, that water starts to bubble until You're so full of the Holy Spirit that you're boiling over. And that's how the Lord wants us to live our life, constantly seeking the Spirit so that we are on the constant boil. And that's great to have a boiling pan of water, isn't it? But you need to do something with that boiling pan of water. So again, Paul shows us the way by ending the verse with, serve the Lord. This passion shows up in faithful service, not just our feelings. So what does faithful service look like? Well, we're going to look at that in my next point. Passion isn't emotional hype. It's a steady flame that is fueled by the Spirit. So can I ask you, is the Lord calling you to passion in the Spirit this morning? Are you thinking, I want that, and I haven't got it? And if you are, then where do we go? Where do we go? What is the source of our passion? And that's my second point. So verse 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. So the source of our passion is our hope. I got this cup from Illy. She picked it up at the ladies' coffee morning, wasn't it? And it's verse 12 of Romans. I thought, oh, I'll bring that with me today. And did you know that the colour yellow in the Church of England calendar, what the colour yellow represents? Ellie? Hope, yes, it's hope. So rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. The source of our passion is our hope. So what is hope? The psalmist describes his hope in Psalm 130, verse 7. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. So we who put our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his death for our sins, in his resurrection that gives us life, we believe his promises and we trust him for his future, for our future. Paul describes Jesus as our hope at the beginning of the letter of Timothy. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Saviour, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. And often people put their hope in other things, don't they? It's a bit like what Matt was saying at the beginning about being happy. Well, it's okay to be happy, but happiness passes away, doesn't it? It goes due to circumstances, but hope is different. It's very different, and we all have a hope. Often people put their hope in something like luck or nature or their own feelings, and they say the universe is looking after them. How many people have heard that? Yeah, the universe is looking after them. The universe? And they tell you off. They say, don't have negative thoughts. You've got to have positive thoughts. You've got to have positive energy. You need to manifest. How that works, I don't know, but manifest good things. These things are but a poor shadow of the truth. They are, because they're subjective, you see, they rely on us, don't they? Instead, we need to look outside of ourselves. And we need to put our hope in the one who created that universe. We need to seek the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes a can. We need to seek the Holy Spirit. He makes positive energy look like a candle in the rain. Later in Romans 15:13, Paul says, may the God of hope fill you with all peace and joy in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So hope fuels our joy and helps us when times are difficult, when we go through trials. Romans 12, verse 12 continues with, be patient in tribulation. It's hard, isn't it, when you go through tribulation, when you go through tough times. It's really hard. You just don't know where to turn. Everywhere you look, it seems to be closed doors, it seems to be no hope. You seem to be alone. But I promise you, the Lord says to you this morning, difficult times will pass. So be patient. See what the Lord is doing in your life. There will be a teaching moment in it. I know the suffering that Ilya and I went through a few years ago, we learned so much. We'd rather it was a different way. I wish we hadn't gone through it, but we did. And I look back and think, the Lord taught me that. So hold on to that hope. The verse ends with, be constant in prayer. I'm going to say this, aren't I? In all things, pray. Throughout tribulation, pray. Be constant in prayer. So how do we get through this time? We invite the Lord into our situation. We invite him into our thoughts. We ask him to solve the problem, to give him those racing thoughts that are trying to come up with a solution. We ask him into that thought pattern. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. When you're walking along, thinking about where you need to go or who you need to see or how can I solve that problem or this problem. Invite the Lord into those thoughts. I promise you it will change how you think. It will remind you of the hope that we have. It will fuel your passion. It will sustain the fire the Lord has put in you. You see, passion is kept alive by our connection to God, not by our circumstances. So do you need to ask the Lord to remind you of the hope that we have in him this morning? So if we are caught to passion, if we are boiling over in the spirit, and we know and we fix our eyes on the source of our passion, what is the result? Well, we come to my very last point, the fruit of passion. So verse 13 says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show him hospitality. Paul tells us what the results of a life of spiritual passion should lead to. And that's contributing to the needs of the saints. So who are the saints? Well, it's everyone here. Everyone who knows the Lord as their Saviour. We are all saints. Saints is defined as one separated from the world and consecrated to God, one holy by profession and by covenant, a believer in Christ. And Paul says we need to contribute to each other's needs. So what does that look like? Well, it could be financial needs. Are we struggling to pay the bills? Could be emotional needs. Are we lonely? Are we down? It could be physical needs. Are we sick? Are we ill? Or it could be needs that we're so busy, we're just desperate for a helping hand. And then the second part of this verse says, do we seek to show hospitality? So do we invite people over to dinner? And for some people, cooking dinner is a major thing. There's too much to cope with. And also, it could be something that you can't afford. But what you can do is invite people over for a cup of tea and a biscuit. Rich tea is my favourite. You see, it doesn't matter if we don't have much. Remember the loaves and fishes. We have a little, and he turns it into a lot. Just that offer of opening your home for a couple of hours, for a tea and chat, that can make all the difference. And pray together. I'm going to say that as well, aren't I? Are you praying when you meet together? So when you have that cup of tea, when you have that fellowship, do you pray? So when you come in, pray at the beginning maybe, or maybe pray in the middle, but definitely pray before you leave, before you part, okay? And the result of these things is that person feels loved. Don't they? The doors start to open. Relationships start to deepen. And as we grow as a church that loves the Lord, we'll also grow as a people who love each other. So real passion overflows into generosity. It overflows into compassion, and it overflows into hospitality. If it doesn't serve others, it's not true spiritual passion. So I come to an end. Two pages. Spiritual passion is staying on fire for God in every season of life. When the winds are calm and when the storms are raging, we are all called to spiritual passion, boiling over in the Spirit, serving the Lord with joy, enthusiasm and love as we stay on mission for Him. Because the Lord Himself is the source of our passion. He gives us a hope that never fades, a joy that remains, a peace that stays, even when our feelings and situations change. And out of that passion comes fruit, the fruit of love in action. We see it when we care for one another, when we give, when we show hospitality, when we open our hearts and our homes to those in need. So, can I ask you where you are today? Have you perhaps grown a little cold? Maybe the fire that once burnt bright has dimmed a bit. Maybe that water in the pan has gone still. Maybe life, disappointment, or routine has quietly dulled your love for God. Or maybe you just have such a comfortable life that you're in that yacht bobbing along, enjoying the sun, drifting quietly in the harbour, safe, comfortable, but going nowhere. Or have you felt the Spirit stirring your hearts this morning? Has He lit that flame in your soul? Is your spirit boiling over, alive with the love for Jesus? Can you say from the depths of your heart, He is the source of my passion, my purpose, and my everything? Are you part of the galleon, the great ship of God out on mission? Sails full of the Spirit's wind, working together with your crew, serving your captain, fighting the enemy, rescuing the lost in the powerful name of Jesus. The choice is ours, between a comfortable, cold, lifeless life or one filled with passion, excitement, and mission. C.S. Lewis said, "It's not that we want too much, it's that we want too little." Do you want a lot or a little this morning? How big are your dreams? What is the Lord calling you to? Let's be a people ablaze for God, passionate in spirit, serving the Lord, loving others, and carrying His hope into a world that desperately needs His light. Can I ask you all to stand? And we're going to pray. So for those of us who feel they have grown cold, or maybe you just want to renew your passion, will you pray this prayer with me? And if anything has come up in the service this morning, or in my preach, I'll be there, and there'll be a couple of others who'll be happy and willing, and eager actually, to pray with you. So shall we pray? Lord, I thank You for being with us this morning, and speaking through Your word by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we confess that we have grown cold. We have chosen the quiet life, the easy life. We have forgotten what You called us to. Lord, please forgive us for these sins. Lord, we lay them at the foot of Your cross today. We turn away from them, and we ask You to wash us clean in Your blood. Lord, we ask You to fill our sails once again. We thank You that You're not finished with us yet. Holy Spirit, we turn into Your wind. Just open Your hands to Him now. Holy Spirit, we turn into Your wind. Blow on us. Fill our sails. Lord, here we are. Lord, here we are. I am. Lord, I sign up for the mission. I join Your crew. I submit to my captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I receive Your Holy Spirit. Lord, may we live a life of spiritual passion from this day forward. And we ask all these things in the wondrous, glorious, and beautiful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.